When I made my way into Denver Mayor Michael Hancock's office yesterday, I already felt like I knew him.
Hello, this is Mayor Michael Hancock. Welcome to Denver, the Mile High City. Denver enjoys 300 days of sunshine each year. Have fun exploring our beautiful state.
There's Mayor Hancock's voice greeting me on the noisy tram at the Denver airport. His voice greets the millions of people who come through Denver International, and most of these people aren't even the voters who elected him by a landslide for a second term. Hancock's enthusiasm is infectious. He's the city's second African-American mayor, and he believes that even the racial tensions of the last 12 months in this country are an opportunity to change his growing city, a diverse community that he says is collectively feeling a moment where big things can happen, from progressive approaches to housing, public transit, and policing.
Denver, and just recent articles and analysis have shown, is one of the least taxed cities in this country based on the services that we receive. And we're proud of the fact that we can be fiscally responsible while also maintaining the highest quality of services for our residents in this great city. And we want to continue that. Although there comes a time when we have to have tough conversations about where we want to go in the future, and we're certainly having those now regarding the investment of our infrastructure, the investment of housing, and investment in transformative projects that allow us to compete on a more global level. And we have to be responsible, and I think the electorate expects us to, one, look at our current resources and make sure we're getting everything we can out of them and we're being good stewards, and only ask for what you can justify and prove will ultimately help us out in the end, and particularly in the long run.
So smart people taking action responsibly attracts growth.
I like to say you give smart people the information they need, they'll make good decisions. And I think the modeling of this region, the cooperation and collaboration you see within this region of 41 mayors who work together on a very regular basis, agreeing to take a look at, to be data-driven in their decision-making, certainly helps us to make good decisions and put good arguments before the people. And our people in this region have made good decisions. Not to say that we don't make mistakes at time or a time or two, but in reality, we have really worked hard to perfect the model of getting good information before the electorate.
The discussion this summer has been about racial tension, about law enforcement's disconnect with African-American communities, the idea that whites and blacks really aren't seeing this moment in the same way, and that some have offered a suggestion that, hey, you know, maybe we need to recognize our history a little bit more. The president has hinted at this sometimes. There have been some tragic incidents where protesters have tried to make a point, but there seems to be a sense that we've come to the end of the road of just protest and just education, and that we've got to start having different kinds of conversations to understand race and racial tension. How do you see what's happened this summer? Because it's been an amazing summer.
I think what we're seeing is the manifestation of what many of us who consider ourselves history buffs and understand this great nation and how we've become as great a nation as we are. And that is that our young people in particular have become disconnected from our history. They don't study it as much as we had to study it as we came along. They're not in tune as we were growing up. So the longer we get away from that history that has really defined who America is in terms of its diversity and inclusion, the more danger and more disconnected I think the generation that's coming along has become. But here's the reality. We have a phenomenal history as a nation, one in which, yes, has been tragic in some respects, but should make us stronger and not weaker as we move forward. And it is becoming upon all of us to educate our young people as well as to remind the baby boomers and those of us who are in the middle, the Xers, that indeed our history has made us great and that we need to lean on that history and never forget it and have the conversations to make sure that we don't allow the generations that come behind us to be disconnected. We didn't wake up and all of a sudden African Americans were able to sit in the classroom on an equal level or sit in front of the theater on an equal level or sit in front of the bus at an equal clip. The reality is that we have seen the struggles, the pain, the hurt, and the blood for people of people who shed it for us to have this opportunity. That was drilled into me. And I think we have dropped the baton and handed it to the next generation. So yes, we must pick it up. We must have those very difficult conversations. We are not where we want to be, but we are far from where we started. A lot of progress has been made. We need to get back to the basics and get back to educating our young people and making sure they understand the ultimate responsibility that they have. And that includes our police officers.
So as tragic as Ferguson and Baltimore and even some of the incidents in this community are, they are reminders. As much as they are tragedies and regretful tragedies, yes, they are reminders that we have some ways to go in this journey.
Yes, not only reminders, but I think kind of a new benchmark in that, yes, the 50s and 60s were really the explosion, if you will, of the civil rights movement and pushing for, you know, the inherent rights, as Dr. King said, to live, dream, and succeed in this nation according to the Constitution and the promises that were made to the citizens of this country. Today, what you see is really the manifestation in terms of Ferguson and New York and other places, Cleveland, that we've seen, is really the barometer to say, you know what, we also have a civil rights movement that still needs to be handled. We still have economic inequalities. We still have educational inequalities that have to be righted. And as long as we have people who are less educated, have less access to the opportunities or to the economic mainstream of this nation, you're going to have these kind of problems because it's about survival and it's about by any means necessary. So the reality is that we have got to find a way to level the playing field when it comes to economics and when it comes to education.
Denver, in many ways, is the original Western boom town. I mean, you know boom here in Denver like very few people in America do. Can a boom town grow in the 21st century and provide housing for everyone, or is it going to be tall buildings, luxury housing, and everything else will get figured out later when there's homeless people in the streets?
We also know bus town as well, as we have seen the bus of the oil and gas industry in the early 1980s, as well as the bust of the dot-com industry in the mid to late 1990s. That really hurt Denver and lost a lot of ground. And what we have learned from that, and Federico Pena experienced it, Wellington Webb and Hickenlooper jointly experienced it based on their eras in which they serve. But the reality is we've all talked about creating a deeper bench, a more substantive and deeper economic system. And that's the only way that I know that we can withstand the volatility of the market and making sure we diversify our economic platform as much as we possibly can, not just temporary measures, but permanent measures that we will always keep in mind, those who are not necessarily top of the scales, but the folks who actually do all of the day-to-day work in this city.
New York Knicks got Carmelo. Yes. Mets are here to destroy the Rockies, they say. Is Manning washed up?
Well, you can have Carmelo. and we'll use the Mets as a learning lesson as the Rockies prepare to get better in seasons to come. And I think Peyton Manning is primed for one of his best seasons, not statistically, but I think, quite frankly, in finishing the task that he showed up to begin in June preseason. I've watched this team gone to practice. This is as deep as they've come, as balanced as they've become. They've been since Peyton's been here. And I think this, quite frankly, may be the year where the Denver Broncos win the Super Bowl.
Thank you very much, Mayor.
You bet. Good to see you.
As part of our visit to Colorado, that's Denver Mayor Michael Hancock speaking to me from his office in the state capitol.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.